everyone. I'm Tucson Sentinel government and political impact reporter Jim Nintzel, and I'm sitting in for the legendary Bill Buckmaster here on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. It's Friday, January 30th, and producer Brendan Kraft is sitting across the window from me, keeping everything running smoothly here. Today, we're going to hear from supporters and opponents of the RTA Next plan that voters will decide in a March 10 election. There's a lot in the plan, and we'll get into the details soon, but first, here's some background. The current RTA plan, approved by voters in 2006, expires after 20 years at the end of June. Pima County voters are being asked whether they want to approve a new 20-year, $2.67 billion plan in the form of Proposition 418 and Proposition 419. Proposition 418 would be the plan that's been laid out by the Regional Transportation Authority. Proposition 419 would continue the half-cent sales tax that pays for it. The deadline to register to vote is February 9th, and ballots will be sent to voters beginning February 11th. If approved by voters over the next 20 years, the new plan spends about $1.5 billion on roadways, including $257 million for projects that were not completed as promised in the first RTA, and about $726 million on transit, which would include expanded service and funding to cover the costs of running downtown Sunlink modern streetcar. My guests today are Josh Van Herman, a Tucson resident who's currently serving as communication advisor for the Connect Pima campaign, which is the coalition that's supporting Props 418 and 419. Josh received his MA in communications at the University of Arizona with a research focus on political communications and online communities. He'll argue in favor, while Ruth Ryman of Tucson Deserves Better Political Committee will argue against it. Ruth has a BS in business from the Kelly School of Business at Indiana University and a master's in public policy from the LBJ School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas. She worked at the Pima Association governments for 12 years before retiring in 2019. She was one of the original members of the Tucson Complete Streets Coordinating Council and serves as the Tucson representative on the RTA Citizens Oversight Committee. I'd like to thank both of you for joining me in this conversation. I'd like to give you both about a minute and a half to make the case, Josh, you in favor, and Ruth, you against. So, Josh, go ahead and let us know what you think.
Hey, Jim. First of all, thanks for having me here today. Also, before I get started, I do want to acknowledge all those participating today in the general strike. I'm really proud of everybody out there standing up for our rights as Americans. But in terms of why I'm supporting RTA Next, I've lived a lot of different places in my life, and I feel like I've finally found a home here in Tucson. I've got a fiance, a house, and I want to make this somewhere that I'm proud to live for a long time. That's part of why I got involved with this campaign to pass 418 and 419, or RTA Next, because I really want this city and region to continue investing in ourselves. We know that the state and the federal government aren't probably going to be the solution to our problems here. And so it's really important to me because 418 and 419 guarantee local funding for everything from road improvements and modernization to safety improvements for drivers, pedestrians, and cyclists. And it helps fund transit for the next 20 years while we don't have to pay any more in taxes than we currently do. This money is also voter protected, meaning that it can't be used for anything else. That's really rare. And more importantly, it's one of the only ways that we can get funding for some of these projects because Arizona state law either limits or prevents other sources of funding like property tax increases. So for me, the regional model, when I look around, I see there's a lot of improvements that have already happened in Pima County, like the streetcar you talked about, expanded transit, pedestrian crossings, bike paths, even things like bus pullouts. This is not even to mention the road projects like Broadway, Silverbell, Tangerine, and Houghton. In short, I think that passing 418 and 419 is going to help fix and improve our major roads. I think it's going to help fund transit, bike and pedestrian improvements, and it's not actually raising our taxes. These are all things that I want for where I live, and I really hope that other people do too.
All right. And Ruth, you're opposed. You're part of a committee, Tucson Deserves Better. Talk about why you think the propositions are the wrong way to go.
Good morning, everyone, or actually afternoon. We're in the afternoon now. Yes, I am part of Tucson Deserves Better. That is a grassroots group of people sitting around a kitchen table deciding that this isn't the plan that we want for our future. I want to start by saying I am not opposed to a half-cent sales tax to support transportation. I also don't question the need for some of the projects in RTA Next and funding for transit. What I don't support is the Regional Transportation Authority, the governance mechanism for the plan. Over the last 20 years, we've seen a dysfunctional board of directors, each protecting their own turf, an untethered executive director, mismanagement of funds, lack of accountability, delays, increased costs, revenue shortfalls, and a disconnect from the community. I believe you will just have more of the same with RTA Next, and the same mistakes will continue to be made. There are better ways, and there is a better plan than RTA Next to improve our transportation network. I urge everyone to vote no on Props 418 and 419 and start promoting Move Tucson, which is the better way.
All right. Thank you both for your thoughts on this. And Josh, I just want to start by saying, what will RTA Next do for the roads here in our community?
So specifically focusing on roads, RTA Next does a couple of different things. The first thing that it does is, as you mentioned, it helps to finish projects that were originally planned, but due to a number of different factors, which we can get into as we start talking, haven't been able to be finished yet, or need a little bit of additional funding to get across the line. On top of that, it helps to modernize and improve a lot of major roadways. So it doesn't have anything to do with your, you know, local community streets. It's really focusing on big major roads that cross the city and the county. Additionally, it helps to it has a lot of additional funding for things like safety and bike improvements, pedestrian crossings, all sorts of the other stuff that helps make roads modern and safe for everybody. And then finally, it also helps to, as you mentioned, there's additional funding specifically earmarked in the program for surface rehabilitation. So that means edge-to-edge repaving of roads in these major corridors. So one of the biggest things that that's going to do for us is help to reduce congestion, help to improve the quality of our roadways, deal with less potholes and things like that. And then it's going to help to make sure that those who are using other forms of transportation are also safe on these roads as well.
Ruth, do you agree that it would do those things for our streets? And are those the right things to be doing for our streets?
There's a lot of expansion of roadways in the plan in the suburbs that I believe just increases sprawl. It funds infrastructure for housing developments where the housing developers should probably be paying their way, as well as the residents that live in that community. Tucson residents don't use those roads out in the suburbs, and we shouldn't be promoting sprawl, which just brings more air pollution. And as some research has shown, expanding roads brings the more cars, but it doesn't reduce congestion. So I support modernization in the city. That's what our road projects are, our modernization projects, where we focus on providing complete streets designs with sidewalks and safety for bikers and lights. But I don't know that that's true around the whole region when they expand the roadways. They seem to paint lines and call that a bike lane. And most drivers see that as a shoulder. There's nothing safe about a lane painted on the side of a 40-mile-an-hour road. So there aren't things in this plan that support a lot of our mission as Tucson Deserves Better.
Okay, Josh, do you want to respond?
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously the opponents of this program, this plan, really talk a lot about sprawl. And I think that that is, in a lot of ways, a mischaracterization of you know, I'm not saying there's no sprawl or no additional widening. Only 11 of the 31 new projects specifically focus on widening. And that's in addition to all the other stuff that they do, as we mentioned. And furthermore, I think that one of the things that's missed here when we talk about things like, oh, we don't want to pay for suburban roads, they should pay for it themselves, it works both ways. You know, if you're a City of Tucson resident, you might say to yourself, oh, I don't want to pay for roads that exist out far away from where I live in my own community. But any part of this entire transportation system is going to help benefit the other parts of it, right? Like, not only for us as residents, but also commercial goods and services. Furthermore, I think it's important to note that people out there are worried about how much there is for transit in this plan, right? It works both ways. That if we want a regional approach that we can make the most of the money that we have and work together, we have to give a little bit here and there. And so, yes, there are roads that are farther out from the urban core that we're investing in, but absolutely, this benefits us as well, and we're getting the benefit of additional transit funding from the taxes that are collected outside the city as well.
Ruth, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I have a couple of comments on that. First of all, Tucson contributes more in tax revenue than it gets out of the plan. So we're paying for those roads out there, and we're not getting the same benefits in the urban center. The other thing I want to emphasize, I've lived in a lot of places around the world, not around the world, around the country, let's say, and where we suffer is when the suburban areas don't realize the contribution of the economic driver of the City of Tucson. We have the university, the main medical centers, we have the cultural centers, and if Tucson does not thrive, the suburbs don't exist. So everyone should be focused on making the City of Tucson better, where many of these people in the suburbs work and commute to, and that the city is thriving and is an economic driver for the rest of the region. So we shouldn't be donating money to suburban roadways. We should be getting a majority of the money on this plan, which we're not.
All right. And I want to shift over to the transit. We've talked about the roads. I want to shift over to transit and talk about what RTA Next would do for transit. And so, Josh, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, there's $726 million in funding that is earmarked specifically for transit. A lot of things that we take for granted today would not exist in Pima County without the original RTA and this initiative. That includes things like the streetcar. A lot of the capital costs of that project were funded by RTA. Additionally, a wide range of currently operating transit routes, not only in the city, but in particular to areas far outside the city, would not exist without RTA funding and will pretty much go away immediately if this doesn't pass and there is no clear plan set forward. We can talk again about what the other options are. They don't look very good or very feasible. But additionally, things like paratransit and dial-a-ride, so specifically services like the SunTran, different buses and things like that that you can call if you are a disabled person. There are all sorts of other things that this helps to fund that don't exist, and there's just simply not money for them in the current city general fund and budgets if we don't have this plan. Additionally, there's over $50 million specifically earmarked for transit safety, so safety improvements are a big worry for a lot of people. This helps to make progress on that. And then, as I mentioned, it's things like bus pullouts. A lot of that stuff is also funded on the major roadways by the RTA.
Ruth, did talk about, do you think the plan, I've heard from opponents that the plan does not have enough for transit. Your thoughts on the transit element of the plan?
The one thing I think that's missing from the plan that is in Move Tucson is an extension of the streetcar. So I totally support the streetcar. It's been one of the success stories of RTA 1, but there's not an extension in the plan. So to me, it's what's the point of it all if you don't plan on extending it out into farther reaches where it can serve more people in the community. And from what I've seen in other communities, trains, light rail, subways are much more appealing to riders than buses. And so I think it's a great way to invest in our economic development by extending it out east towards the east side of Tucson. It will bring people to sporting events. It could bring people to the theater. It's just, and to their jobs, more importantly. So that, to me, is a big piece not there. The plan, as I understand it, funds the continuation of the services, as Josh says, but I don't see a great deal of expansion in the funding that's in the plan. So there is a BRT line, which I think is a good beginning, but not nearly enough to serve people in the community. So I think we can do better, and I think there's plans and options to do better.
Okay, and BRT is bus rapid transit, yes. And that's a proposal to have something that runs basically from the Tucson Mall out to the airport down Stone Avenue and then on through the south side.
But I don't think the south side leg is in the plan. I think it's just the north side downtown.
Okay. All right. We've got about a minute left, but Josh, do you want to talk about any of that?
Yeah, I think one of the really important things to remember, I mean, living in Tucson, it's always about what is the ideal that we can get, right? We obviously want a lot of improvement in transit, and we want a lot of different things. But I think it's a little bit of a situation where we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater here if we say, oh, we have to scrap this entire plan, we have to scrap all of the funding that it entails. And after the break, hopefully we can get into some of the logistical reasons that we can't get a lot of funding from other sources.
All right. And again, I'm here with my guests, Josh Van Herman, arguing on behalf of the RTA Next Plan, and Ruth Ryman, arguing against the RTA plan. We are going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. But before I take our break, I need to mention that El Cisne at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise presents the multicultural fine dining of many regions in Mexico. The multicultural Mexican heritage is the heart and soul of El Cisne restaurant. Also, El Cisne will cater events large and small, casual or fine dining. Services can include pickup or delivery, setup and cleanup, and hosting and attendance. El Cisne is open daily for lunch and dinner at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise.
$1.67 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 48,000 additional jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hello, everybody. We are back with the Buckmaster Show. I'm Jim Ninsel from the Tucson Sentinel, filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. And today we are having a conversation about RTA Next, which will appear on the ballot as Propositions 418 and 419 on March 10th. Voters will decide whether to continue a half-cent sales tax to fund a $2.6 billion transportation plan over the next 20 years. I've got two guests in here, Josh Van Herman, who is arguing on behalf of the RTA, and Ruth Ryman, who is arguing against the proposal. And Ruth, let's start with you. Should voters be able to trust what's being promised in RTA Next, given the projects that were left unfinished in the first RTA?
I love talking about trust, Jim, because I don't believe we can. The RTA has failed us in RTA 1. The structure is not suited to produce much. We can see in RTA Next that they are already starting out with a plan for failure by loading up period one. So in the first 5 years of the plan, we're going to be working on completing RTA one projects. There's probably at least 9 of those. There's 7 deferred projects that are in RTA Next from RTA one that are in period one. And then there's another 10 projects of new projects in period one. I don't believe we have the construction ability to do that, manage all that. And where's the money? The money hasn't been collected yet for RTA Next. How are you going to fund all these projects in the first 5 years of the next plan? And so I just think that's setting us up for failure. Things will be delayed. Then period two's delayed to period three, and three's delayed to four. And as you delay all these projects, the costs just increase. And there's absolutely nothing built into the plan to account for inflation. So we end up in 2046 with the same thing we have this year, where we have incomplete projects, shortage of funding, and we're looking at ways to fund the completion of RTA Next. It's just a plan for failure in my part.
All right. Josh, would you like to respond to that?
Definitely. I think there's one point I want to make. First of all, the plan does adjust for inflation and additionally over time, and additionally was made with a much, much more conservative view than the previous plan. The previous plan was basically set to median projected revenues, meaning 50% of the time it could be more, 50% it could be less. This time it's 80% on the conservative side. So we are sure not only, you know, after going through the economic crises of 2008 and 2020, that we're in a position where this is going to be a much more conservative plan. We're much more likely to be able to finish all of these projects this time. Additionally, when she says, where's the money? What's happening with these first projects? There's almost $300 million still available in funding that has already been earmarked from the original RTA for these plans. And then some of the first revenues coming in are going to help to complete these projects. So I think, you know, understandably, people have some trust issues when it comes to local governance. I think that you look around at the state of the world, that's true at every level. But ultimately, if you also look at the changes that the RTA has made moving forward, particularly with the new director, Mike Ortega, they have specifically codified some of the Citizens Advisory Committee's role in the process. They've been out in the community every single week trying to get input. This is not a group of people that are trying to hide away from these problems. They're trying to address them and make it better. And so I think it's very important that not only we need this funding, which we're not going to get from anywhere else, but additionally, some of the problems that we've had in the past are things that are being addressed by the people in power in these positions.
And Ruth, I'll let you address that, but I also want to ask you, because it's a concern I've heard from opponents of this, is that the way the RTA plan is set up with the amount of money going to roads versus the amount of money going to transit, that the plan takes us backwards and does not move us forward in the way that we need to be moving as we enter the next 20 years. So go ahead and respond to what Josh said, and then let's talk about, you know, the general thrust of the plan.
Okay, first I want to address the inflation. By using the pessimistic projection for revenues, I think it's more realistic. But there's still nothing in the plan to adjust for 30, 40% increase in costs. Let's take the First Avenue project. That was part of RTA 1. In RTA 1, it was funded at, I believe, $74 million. In RTA Next, where it is now, and it is a much smaller project, it's not an expansion anymore, it's doubled in costs, 100% increase in the cost for that project. There's nothing in this plan to account for that kind of price increases. And given the tariffs and the deportation of construction workers, we're going to have some real problems making costs that's in this plan. And then to go on to the future, is this plan taking us backward? I don't know that it's going backward per se, but it doesn't address our futuristic issues such as climate change. There's nothing in this plan that promotes any type of alternative energy. There's not a great emphasis on alternative modes. By not providing for more bike access and pedestrian access, we're just stagnant, and we have air quality issues in this area, and bringing in more cars with road expansion does not help us at all by with climate change and greenhouse gases.
Yeah, Josh. Well, once again, I'm a little confused by some of that answer, because not only does it help to increase bike and pedestrian access, it helps to fund transit that the city cannot fund itself. The city can't increase property taxes due to Arizona state law. That's already where their budget comes from, more than 2% per year. And additionally, the county has, Christie has explicitly said that he's not interested in passing a tax if this fails. So I don't know where all this stuff is supposed to be coming from, first of all. But additionally, when we talk about the future, when we talk about what we want in Pima County and how we want our transportation system to look, continuing to fund both transit and modernization is important. We know that the roads aren't the quality that we want them to be. The majority of people in this county see themselves as drivers, as people that use their car to get around. And so if we're not investing in those roads, that's going to hurt the ability for businesses to look at this as an attractive place to bring jobs. It's going to hurt people's ability to get around. It's going to increase congestion. All of these things that I think are incredibly important looking forward. So I just don't agree with Ruth here on this particular point. And then one more thing, I do think it's important to address, as we've talked about, inflation is very high. Things cost significantly more than they did in 2006. But that's also part of why we have all of these systems in place to continue adjusting these plans as they are needed. We've already seen that with some of what happened on First Avenue, as you mentioned, adjusting the plan to what the community needs, but also looking at the data and saying, where do we need to make improvements? Where do we need to fix the roads? And putting the money there. So I'm still just not sure what really we're advocating for in terms of making all this stuff happen outside of the funding source that we have available to us.
All right, Ruth, you want to respond to that?
Well, first of all, I don't think RTA is the place to put that money. I think Josh is questioning whether there's anything else. I believe there is. I think the city of Tucson and the residents in Tucson, and I live in Tucson, and that's what I represent and what I support, is that they have voted for taxes to support transportation. We have a plan. It's called Move Tucson we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars developing. It has road modernization. It has extensive support of transit. It has access to alternative modes. It has complete street designs, which are safe ways to access roadways in a new era. That's on the shelf. It's there, sitting, waiting to have money for it, to fund it. There's 230 projects in there that need to be funded. And some of those projects are in RTA next, but only a handful. There are 230 more projects that need to be done. We're currently using Prop 411. 411 was voted on and passed to maintain our local roads. So we have funding to fix our local roads, and we have some money for collectors as well. So Tucson has voted to support road maintenance and repavement. And we have a plan ready to go. We just need to put it to the voters and put it on the ballot. And then we don't have this governance issue with RTA that has been serving the suburbs for years and is not supporting the mission and the needs of the Tucson community. So there is a way. We don't need RTA next. There is a way to fund our transportation needs.
Two very quick responses to that. First of all, if we look at whether or not Tucson wants to do any additional funding for these projects, they can always do that on top of RTA next. That's always something that's available. But if we look at what's actually likely to happen, 414 Safe and Vibrant City just failed by 70%. Tucson voters have said, this is not an economic situation where we're ready to keep increasing taxes. We don't want to increase taxes. Additionally, she keeps making it sound like we're turning Tucson into LA full of freeways. We're not. So many of what's happening in this plan includes investments in walking, biking, transit, and green spaces. I just don't like this characterization, and I don't think it's factual that there's nothing that's happening that is environmentally conscious about this plan, not to mention the $50 million for wildlife linkages.
Okay. Let's talk about the consequences for transit if this does not pass. Ruth, we had the city council hear from their staff who warned that you'd lose about $10 million for service within the city of Tucson if RTA funding goes away, as well as another roughly $10 million for some of the services that go outside the city limits. Your thoughts on that potential impact on the transit in Tucson?
From my understanding, and even Josh mentioned it, I saw in the annual report, there's $357 million of RTA money sitting in the bank. At the last CART meeting, we were told that $200 million of that is programmed. That's $157 million plus collections for 2026 that could fund a gap in transit services. And then gives us the time to pass another tax within the city without RTA supervision to support transit for the city residents. And if the county wants to participate, we could look at taxing for support outside the city limits. That's what I would look at. The scare tactics of transit's going to be cut and everybody's going to be walking in the streets and there aren't going to be any buses is just an overstatement, and then just scare tactics to frighten people into voting for RTA next.
All right. Josh, you want to respond to any of that?
Yeah, I mean, literally just this week, the Tucson director for Sam Credio, director of transportation, said that pretty much immediately, again, a lot of the money we've talked about can't just be moved around willy-nilly, but that 141 weekday trips, 205 Saturday trips, and 115 Sunday trips on transit will stop immediately. That's not even to mention paratransit and dial-a-ride and other services that basically there is no alternative for, and there isn't a bunch of money sitting around for these things. So I'm very confused by that.
And that would be July 1st.
Correct. July 1st.
And they're talking about reducing a lot of frequency, basically, and cutting off a lot of the stuff that goes out. But the city also said they would have public meetings to hear from the public in terms of how that would develop before moving forward with a plan.
And of course.
Ruth, anything else you want to say on the transit topic?
Well, I have to support what my councilwoman, Schubert, said in that meeting, was let's explore other options to fund that shortfall, if there is a shortfall. And personally, I think there are services, RTA transit services, that can be shut down that haven't performed as they were supposed to, such as the express buses. I've rode the express bus to work. There's nobody on those buses. So there may be services that should be terminated to cover some of the funding gap. But I agree with Councilwoman Schubert.
Why do you think we have these express buses and yet they don't seem to be attracting riders?
Well, personally, when I wrote it, I took it from the city. As an express bus, I can't tell you why the suburban people don't ride them. I have no answers for them, but we did them. We tried it, and the services aren't meeting the performance measures they need to sustain revenue. And the shuttle buses also run empty. So you try them. If they don't work, you cut them back, and you try other things. But a lot of times, there isn't the density in the suburb to fill up these buses.
Well, Josh, why do you think that transit's been such a hard sell for the people of Tucson?
For not only Tucson, but Pima County. I mean, a couple of reasons. First of all, again, most people drive. Most people view themselves as drivers. It is their preferred way to get around, right? I'm not saying that means that's all that we should ever invest in. But that's just that's what's happening right now when you look at the voters and you look at the community that we live in. Additionally, as we talked about, like, safety has been a big issue on transit, but that's part of why this plan continues to fund safety improvements, and also a lot of routes that may not have a ton of riders. Again, that's why we need things like paratransit and dial-a-ride. We need options for people who are in unincorporated Pima County, who are in the tribal nations, and so we need to make sure that they have options. We need to make sure we don't cut transit. We want to keep investing in this, but we need to keep finding ways to make it better, and that's exactly what this plan is trying to do.
I mean, Ruth, we've got about a minute left, but in your sense, you said, you know, maybe we need to cut some of the express routes or the routes moving out into the outskirts of the community. What would your ideal transit system look like? And can you sum that up in a minute?
My ideal transit system would look like subways, light rail, commuter rail, and those types of transportation mechanisms, which I don't know that we'll ever have a system like that in Tucson. I would like more frequency on some of the buses. And from when I worked at PAG and talked to commuters, there are people that work very late hours and need transit support. So I would move in that direction, more frequency. And if we could build up our light rail, our streetcar line, I think that's the way to go.
All right. We're going to take another break here. After that, I think we have Charles on the line who wants to ask you guys a question. I am Jim Dinsel with the Tucson Sentinel. I am filling in for Bill Buckmaster here on the Buckmaster Show. And we're talking about RTA next and Propositions 418 and 419, which will be decided by voters on March 10th. We'll be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Food insecurity is a huge challenge in our community. Please consider donating to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and Interfaith Community Services. And don't forget our animal friends, supported by the Southern Arizona Food Bank, which makes sure no one ever has to make a choice of feeding their pets or feeding their families. Let's make sure no one goes hungry in Southern Arizona.
All right, we are back with the Buckmaster Show. I'm Jim Dinsel from the Tucson Sentinel filling in for Bill, and today we're having a conversation about RTA Next, which voters will decide in the forms of Props 418 and 419 on March 10th, and early ballots going out pretty soon on February 11th. So folks are getting engaged in what's going on with this election, I think. With me today, we have Josh Von Herman, who's arguing on behalf of the proposition, and Ruth Ryman, who's arguing against the proposition. And we have a caller on the Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management Buckmaster Live Line. Charles, you have a question for our guests.
Yes. The reason that people aren't riding the public transit is because it isn't safe. What would RTA do specifically to address the safety concerns of the riders? I will listen to your answer on the air.
Josh, you want to take that one?
Yeah. So again, right now there's $50 million earmarked for these projects. The first thing they need to do is explore different options. So feasibility study and understanding exactly where and when we can do additional things. There are a number of proposals, including things like safety cameras, additional security and things like that. But there's a lot of different things that we need to understand first before. That's why there aren't a bunch of specific laid out things, because we really need to understand what our options are and what the best route is going to be to spend this money on additional safety improvements. To me, the most important thing is that we're doing something about it, because this money isn't, you know, we're not just going to get any sort of other federal or state funding. We're unlikely to get additional funding from the city. So I think that having the money there to do something is the most important.
Ruth, do you want to address that at all?
No.
Okay. And then we have a second caller, Debbie. Debbie, what's your question for our guests?
Hi there. It's very similar to the one that was just asked. That's my primary concern. I was I used the bus extensively until COVID hit, and when they made the buses free and anybody and everybody was riding them everywhere they wanted, you know, they could practically live on the bus. They became very scary places. And I've heard some of the city council people say that they've ridden buses and that they had a wonderful experience. But if you ride the bus on a daily basis, you'll find out that that's not really the case. And I'm wondering if there's anything in either of these plans, the one that Ruth is talking about that I'm not familiar with, and the RTA, for charging fares, or at least knowing who is getting on and off of these buses and holding them accountable for their behavior when they're on the bus, and safety at the bus stops themselves.
All right. Would either of you like to address that? And we should point out that the Tucson City Council is the decision maker when it comes to whether to charge fares or not. And that's somewhat separate from the RTA and funding additional transit. But would either of you like to address the issue of free fares or whether you believe that is contributing to the sense of people feeling unsafe on the buses?
That was exactly what I was going to say. What you said, Jim, that is an issue for the city council. And additionally, you know, that is part of why this plan has a little bit of something for everybody, because some people want to ride the bus, some people don't. And so being able to choose what way that you want to travel Pima County and having investments in all of those different areas is incredibly important. That's part of why the RTA plan is constructed the way that it is.
Yeah, I'd like to add something. The one big negative about RTA Next is it's a 20-year plan, and it's locked in from the day you vote on March 10th. The plan does not change. The funding will never increase. It would be lucky if they can manage to fund what's in the plan. And you are given this plan for the next 20 years. There's no flexibility, whereas Move Tucson is a flexible plan and can adjust and adapt to the current circumstances. As we saw in RTA 1, we had a recession and we had COVID, and the board of directors did nothing to adjust the plan to accommodate that until years after it had passed. The RTA never collected the revenues that were projected from day one, did not make any adjustments until 8 years later to accommodate that. And what they did is they took money from other categories in the first plan to pay for roadways. The voters didn't tell them to do that. The board decided on that. And so there is no accountability in RTA Next, and that will continue, whereas Move Tucson will be managed by the city of Tucson. And if you don't like what's going on, you can vote out your officials. So there is oversight committees that are functioning as oversight committees, which is not true in RTA Next.
That makes me wonder, should we abandon the RTA's regional model and instead allow each jurisdiction to take care of its own needs as it sees fit? And I'll throw that over to you, Ruth, because that seems to be the direction you're going with this.
Yeah. First of all, I don't think there's a regional model in RTA, which is part of the problem. The way the plan was constructed is years and years ago, the jurisdictions were asked to present a list of priorities. They were given $600 million of funny money and said, tell us what you want to build with your $600 million.
I think these are pretty clear mischaracterizations.
No, they're not. Excuse me. I'd like to continue. And they were submitted their list of priorities. And then from there, the CAC, the Citizens Advisory Committee, went through those list of priorities. There was very little collaboration across the jurisdictions. So to me, the regional model is a collection of local road projects that each jurisdiction wants for their community.
Josh, give you a chance to respond to that.
Yeah, sorry. It's just there's a lot that's being thrown out right now that I think is not fact-based. And the first of all, if we're going to talk about flexibility in the plan, there is absolutely flexibility in the plan. It is not fair to say, oh, they did nothing. Conversations are constantly ongoing between not only the multiple advisory committees, not just the Citizens Advisory Committee, but the technical planning as well. And in addition to that, they absolutely can go back to the voters if they need to reapprove certain parts of the plan. That's what we're doing right now. And so I think that, you know, all of this talk about like, oh, there's nothing we can do if things change, just simply not true. And then additionally, as we've talked about a little bit before, not only is Mike Ortega and the board frequently out in the community trying to show not only that they're accountable, but hear what is needed, like they did with the first AV plan, like they've done with Broadway, like they've done with many of these other parts of the plan, but they've codified some of the changes to the Citizens Advisory Committee to increase their status in the decision-making process. So I fundamentally disagree with what Ruth is saying, that absolutely none of this is being addressed. And I think that when we look at what we want a regional approach. We want collaboration. And to say, oh, it's just a list of projects, that is not at all what this plan is. There is so much more in the details, and we don't have time to get into all of that. But if you go and you read it for yourself, you will see this is in no way just a list of projects that everybody submits. It is one of our best opportunities for collaboration in the region. We don't want roads that are good all the way up until one specific area, and then because there's not funding in another area, they immediately turn bad. Roads don't see jurisdictions. We need to be able to work across these jurisdictions because it benefits all of us. And I have to say.
We've got about 3 minutes left. I want to give each of you 1 minute to sum up your arguments for and against it. Josh started earlier, so Ruth, I'll let you start on the opposition.
Okay. There was a lot said just a moment ago by Josh, and I hear the spin from the people I used to work with. And I was there. I was part of what actions took place. I've been on the CART committee for 5 years. I've seen up close how the sausage is made. And it's ugly. And I'd like to see it go away. I'd like to see local control of our tax dollars. We have an unelected governance system with the RTA board that we don't have control over. There is absolutely no accountability. And the CART has literally done nothing to oversee the actions of the RTA board. They can codify everything they want, but they can ignore those rules, which they have done historically.
All right. And Josh, how about a minute from you to wrap it up here?
Yeah, look, again, I'm not arguing that any local governance organization is perfect. Whether it's your mayor, whether it's a county organization like this, there's always going to be issues. But specifically, the actions, the tangible actions that have been taken to try and solve some of these problems going forward, I think are clear. I think additionally, when you look at what this plan does for our future, it provides the opportunity for economic development. It invests in many of the things that we want as a community. And simply put, there's no money elsewhere to make this happen. Voters have explicitly said in the city of Tucson, they don't want any new taxes. So continuing to make the best use of the money we have from a regional approach, we benefit from the economy of scale there. We benefit from some of the lessons that we continue to learn. I think that that's important. And I think for all of you out there, continue to look into this, read for yourself, understand some of the changes and what this really means for our community, because this is a big deal going forward for what Tucson's going to look like in the future. That's why I support this plan.
And we're going to have the publicity pamphlet in the hands of voters. They'll be able to read a lot of arguments on both sides when that arrives in their mailboxes. That is going to do it for our forum on Props 418 and 419, the RTA Next Project. I'd like to thank my guests, Josh Von Herman and Ruth Ryman, for their conversation about RTA Next, the package that Pima County voters will decide when they vote on March 10th. We're going to take a break here, but we'll be right back with Weekend Watch from the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
At Tucson International Airport, we make it easy to fly from the moment you arrive.
Hop in. We'll get you from parking to the terminal in no time.
We keep our lines short so you can get to your gate quickly.
Why deal with the big city airport when you can relax with our dining options before your trip?
We'll get you off the gate and into the air fast.
At TUS, we make it easy. Visit flytucson.com. Now with nonstop flights to Portland, Las Vegas, and Salt Lake City.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Attend an upcoming question and answer session hosted by the Regional Transportation Authority to learn more about the proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan voters will consider next March. The proposed improvements, if approved, will reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. A half-cent tax to fund RTA Next, if approved, will replace the current tax, resulting in no change in the current tax rate. The Q&A sessions, which are being held across the region, include in-person and virtual events. Learn more or sign up at RTANext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Friday, February 6th at noon, we talk with Tucson Police Chief Chad Kazmar on our Friday Focus interview, then Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk. We're always live at noon on Friday with the show at buckmastershow.com.
Filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster on the Buckmaster Show. And in the with me in the studio now is Leslie Lois from The Drive to talk about what's going on this weekend with our Weekend Watch segment.
Well, tonight, come on down, because you're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
What?
Yeah, The Price is Right stage show is going to be at the Linda Ronstadt Music Hall tonight. Our listeners have been going nuts over tickets that we gave away. It is like being at a taping of the real show, but they travel around the country and they pick people in the audience to come up and be contestants. So someone could walk away with a car tonight.
Can you ask me how much a ticket is and I'll answer without going over?
That's perfect. I know that there are tickets available, and our Ken Carr from The Drive Tucson actually interviewed the host Todd Newton a few days ago. You can listen to that on thedrivetucson.com. But yeah, there are tickets still available. Linda Ronstadt Music Hall. It is a clear bag policy, by the way, and that starts at 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, if you don't bring that clear bag, you're going to have to hang your bag in the bushes and hope it's still there when you come back out. So clear bags are important.
Absolutely. If you're into dinosaurs, Jurassic Quest is going on this weekend. That's at the Pima County Fairgrounds. Life-size dinosaurs. There's bounce houses, of course, for the kids. You can dig for fossils and watch interactive dinosaur shows. I think my granddaughter would absolutely love that. That's going on through Sunday at the Pima County Fairgrounds as well.
I've taken my kids out there before. Oh. They love it.
Oh, awesome.
It was during COVID, so we had to do the drive-through version, which I think it's probably better now that they're in a space. But we've got one more?
Yeah. Huzzah! Arizona Renaissance Festival opens up this weekend. Yeah, that's happening east of Apache Junction on Highway 60, that is. It's going on the weekends, 10 to 6 through March 29th. It's already that time of year.
I have taken my kids there as well. And yeah, that's a wonderful drive. You go up Oracle Road there and kind of go the back way to Phoenix. And then you can gnaw on a turkey leg and perhaps do some jousting while you're up there.
It's fun.
It's a ton of fun up there. All right, Leslie, Lois, thank you so much for Weekend Watch here. I think those are some fun events for folks to check it out. And that is it for this edition of The Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for its content. And I'd like to thank my guests, Ruth Ryman and Josh Von Herman, for a conversation about RTA Next. On behalf of the entire team here at Bustos Media, Tucson, including my engineering producer, Brendan Kraft, have a wonderful weekend and safe as well.